Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
All right, good day and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another Live the Fuel show. So today we are recording with a gentleman through the power of networking. We've talked about this before many times in the show. We are the product of the five people we spend the most time with, from the famous Jim Rohn, but also we need to grow our circles of influence. And I can thank a prior co-host by the name of Chris Marr. So shout out to my United Kingdom brother, prior co-host. He actually brought us a even more powerful co-host today. This gentleman has been around the block when it comes to speaking. A quick little bio on him, man. He's been actually called the web marketing guru by New York Times. So that's a pretty powerful statement because I'm not at that level yet. But the story of how this gentleman, he was able to save his swimming pool company, River Pools, from the economic crash of 2008. I literally just recorded with another gentleman yesterday who also suffered through 2008. So I think a lot of people were impacted by that year. But he's been featured in multiple books, publications, stories around the world, and is also the inspiration for another new book. This new book, his book, They Ask, You Answer, which has been dubbed the number one marketing book to read in 2017 by Mashable. I follow Mashable. So, you know what? I'm going to bring this guy on. Without further ado, welcome to the show, Marcus Sheridan.
Scott, it's a pleasure to be here, man. I think we'll have a fun conversation, I have no doubt.
I'm looking forward to it, man, because I love your brand. And when Chris introduced us, he's like, oh, have you ever heard of the Sales Lion? So for our listeners, guys, check out thesaleslion.com because I have heard of you because I am a sales and marketing professional and your name has been thrown out a little bit, but I did not make the connection until he connected us. And I was like, that's the guy.
Yeah, that Chris Marr is a really special guy, by the way. He's got an organization called CMA, or stands for Content Marketing Academy, but it's really a business personal development group that's in the UK, like you said, based really out of Edinburgh, is where he has all of his events. But he gets it, man. I'm telling you, he gets community, he gets networking, he certainly gets marketing. He's done some great things, and I appreciate that guy a lot. But I'm glad we're connected.
I'm very excited for connecting because I have a question lined up, and I do not do formatted episodes, but this has been bugging me. It popped into my head again this week because years ago, before I got hardcore into sales and marketing, an old friend of mine from my Penn State University days, he's like, you know, Scott, he's like, you're not really an engineer. He's like, you have the gift of gab. You should really be in sales. And back then, I looked at sales coldly because I'd been to some used car lots, right? You know where I'm going with this. And I was like, man, I don't know, man. I don't want to be that used car salesman guy. And he's like, not everybody's like that, man. He's like, that's your choice. And so yeah. In the beginning, I looked at sales as not being a profession. It was more of a job. And again, through maturity and pulling your head out of your butt and through a lot of self-development and professional development, it's like, wait a minute, dude, sales is a necessity. All you are is a pathway to a solution. But I've been wanting to hear for today's episode, like what you really think about when I say things like this, you being the professional you are who's impacting hundreds of thousands of people around the world with your speaking events. So what do you think about what I'm saying?
You know, So there's a very famous phrase, which is nobody likes to be sold to. I don't agree with it, actually. And I'll tell you why I don't agree with it. Because every one of us has met a salesperson that was amazing for the most part, right?
True.
And when we meet somebody that's truly amazing and great at their job, we enjoy the process of being sold to. We like it. What we don't like is people that poorly communicate, that do not listen, that only want to pitch, that don't want to talk to us. And so what it comes down to is, as humans, we love a communicative experience. We want communion. And oftentimes we hear about community, but really what we want is communion. We want to feel like we're understood. That's the essence of community. It comes from this communion. And that's the essence of sales as well. Hmm. Because if we feel like somebody gets us, well, now all of a sudden, we say, wow, I kind of trust this person, and it's a wonderful thing. And so I think that there's nothing wrong with the word sales. And I also think that if you're good at your job, you should own that. You know, I mean, I see all these people these days, they're afraid to even use the word sales, like it's a like it's the F-bomb or something. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's like it's not bad. It's not bad. Just like marketing is not bad. In fact, if you really look at businesses, I learned a long time ago when it comes to business that if you want to get something approved, you call it sales. If you want to get it delayed or rejected, you call it marketing. That's how it works.
Interesting. And I see, I can't tell you how many times I've talked to, I spent a couple years in the IT world doing inside sales. They didn't really have any outside salespeople. And maybe it's because it's the IT space and that's what they wanted. But constantly, marketing was like that's the office down the hall. Like they handle the website stuff. Like we don't really talk. And I went back to school when I was working for them as an adult student, nights and weekends, banging out a BS in marketing and psychology. And being an adult student, you think differently. And I looked at it, I was like, I went back in there after every class I'd complete, and I'm going to the VP, and I'm like, why aren't we talking more to each other? And it's funny you're talking about this. Like, guys, like to our listeners, guys, like sales and marketing or just human beings in general, right? Because I'm a big advocate for coaching and development and mentorship and going to events and meeting powerful speakers like yourself. It's like, guys, like we are human beings. We're supposed to be communicating with each other. It really, if you talk to one another, you resolve a lot of problems. And it seems like people forget to talk to each other. Am I getting too high level and generalized?
No, I don't think so. Well, if we look at just from a sales marketing sense, there's a lot of studies out now that talk about how, on average, 70% of the buying decision has been made before someone even talks to a salesperson. Mm. Now, in some industries, it might be lower or higher, but that's essentially what the agreed upon average is right now. And so if that number's true, then we have to pose the question, well, okay, so which department of my organization has a greater impact on the actual sale? Is it the sales team or is it the marketing team? And the reality is marketing. But here's what's crazy. To this day, if a company's in financial trouble, the first department that gets laid off is marketing. If the company is looking to grow their business, the first department that gets hired is sales in most cases. And the reason for that is really, really simple. If you look at the history of sales and marketing, it goes back to financial spreadsheets, right? Sales has always been classified as revenue. Marketing has always been classified as an expense. And that fundamentally is flawed, especially in 2017, because never in the history of the world can we definitively track the revenue that we generate through marketing. Like case in point, Scott, and I don't know if you're gonna get to this later, but like because of
roll with it, man.
Because of tracking and analytics, you know, when my pool company was going over the edge and we were gonna lose everything, that's when I embraced this philosophy that you mentioned earlier called they ask you answer. That's what I call it. Mm-hmm. And basically the philosophy of they ask you answer is an obsession with the way buyers think and what they ask and how they want to buy. And it's this mindset of, if anybody has ever asked me the question, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, I'm going to address it. I'm going to start on my website, but I'm going to make it a part of my sales and marketing communication. And so the number one question I would get as a pool guy for all those years was, Marcus, how much does a fiberglass pool cost? That was the number one question I would get for years.
They go to the dollar. Yeah,
that's exactly right. And in 2009, when I started to embrace this philosophy, there wasn't a single pool company in the world that had addressed the question, how much does a fiberglass pool cost, on their website. And so to make a long story really, really short, I, of course, addressed the question. And because of advanced analytics, I know that one single piece of content that took me 45 minutes to write on my kitchen table, literally, has generated over $3.5 million in sales since the day it was written. $3.5 million that I would not have had I not been willing to address the question. And oh, by the way, I'd never said how much a fiberglass pool cost, because you can't, just like most people listening to this, can't necessarily say how much their stuff costs. But what we can all do is we can all teach people, okay, here's what drives the cost up. Here's what will keep the cost down. Here's why some companies are expensive. Here's why some companies are less. You see, when we stop communicating and teaching about this thing, in this case, price, what we unintentionally do is we commoditize the marketplace. Because the reason why people buy the cheapest thing is out of ignorance. The reason why ignorance occurs is because they're not educated. The reason why they're not educated is because companies like us haven't bothered to teach them and address the question. And so when we see ourselves and we're obsessive about this idea of teaching and answer every question, we end up decommoditizing the marketplace and that thing that we sell, so they can, in their mind, justify, okay, sure, a fiberglass pool is going to cost more than a concrete pool at first, but it makes sense in my case in the long run because it's the best fit for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, what you're talking about here is we're trying to get, and this goes beyond just business and pools, but
way beyond.
Let's look at just conversation in general. Are you surface level or are you going deeper? Are you, and this is a term that I've learned from my years doing coaching and development and moving into as an analyst with the T-Mobile. Everybody's heard of T-Mobile. So I was in deep with that company for years and I learned a lot there. And when they switched our managerial titles to coaching titles and then put us in a full immersion for the next like 2 weeks and then just it was coaching and development. And the biggest term we took out of that, which I've carried to years later to this day, is one of the lessons is active listening versus just listening. And people, what do you mean by that? And I would love to hear how you would define that being the sales line.
Yeah, so this is, I'm grateful that you asked that question because I'm pretty obsessed with this subject, right? And with this topic of listening and asking just the right question. Because I think the great skill that has been lost in society is just that, the art of listening so well that you know what to ask in the moment so as to have a magical experience where the person on the other side or both can discover something they previously did not know. And to give you a sense of what I'm talking about here, let me give you one little example. So my speaking philosophy, I think the one reason why that I've been able to attain relatively fast track success in the speaking space is because the majority of my presentations are question based. All right. And so I use the audience as almost like a co-host like you do, Scott, right? And based on my questions, it leads down to this place where I'm trying to take them. And I think the key of any great teacher and communicator is that we have to help the audience discover what we're trying to tell them without actually telling them. And so it's kind of like, to give a really simple example, all right, because this applies to every facet of our life, from the stage to the boardroom to the living room. I mean, literally every phase of our life. And so if my kid comes to me, I've got four kids, and let's say I had a kid come to me and said, Dad, why does the sun rise in the morning, right? So most parents would want to say in that moment, oh, well, actually what's happening is this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. But if I'm a good parent, like not just a good parent, a great teacher, I am going to ask a series of questions that's going to help my child get to a point where the child says, wait a second, Dad, wait a second. I got it. So what's actually happening is the sun doesn't move at all, does it? No, it sure doesn't, child. In fact, we're the ones that are moving, aren't we, Dad? Yes. And now the child has discovered that truth for themselves, just like one of those great scientists of the past. And in a speaking sense, the example that I was going to tell you is, so I was once speaking at this conference in Utah, right? And when I was done, it was Q&A time. And oftentimes Q&As really, really suck because you don't, there's a lot of reasons for it. But in this case, the final question of the day, which you want to end well, you really want to not have a fizzle. Salesperson stands up. He says, Marcus, I'm a salesperson. I've been listening to you now for 45 minutes, man. I really, really enjoy this presentation. I just want to know, what should I do next? Like, when I get back to the office, where do you think I should start?
That's still a pretty broad question.
Still a pretty broad question. And it was in that moment where instead of giving the answer like so many would give, I said to him, we'll just say his name was John. I said, John, you've been here for 45 minutes, like you said. In fact, I've been watching you, and I can tell you have been inspired as we've been having this conversation. So based on what you have heard and what you have felt, what do you think you should do next? And then he proceeds to tell me exactly what he thinks he's supposed to do. And then as soon as he was done, I looked out to the audience and I said, and ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly why we came here tonight. And everybody had a huge round of applause. But he was the hero. You see what I'm saying? Like, he
was
the
hero. It's not about you. It's about
him. Not about me. Right. And he owned it for himself because I just set him up to be able to discover that which he really already knew. He just needed to verbalize it.
Well, and let's be real. I mean, for our listeners, guys, like what you're referring to, as you hinted, is like, this isn't just for the boardroom, okay? This goes, the last piece of what you said was the living room, right? This is stuff that through, once you get into that deeper place in life, and as we mature and we grow and we gain the wisdom, and I'm slowly been learning that over the years too. It's like, wow, I could extrapolate what I've learned in my profession. And all I got to do is translate it into the romantic piece in my life or the friendships in my life. And it's like, you don't want to be coming across as a know-it-all. I guess I could sum it up like that, right? Like, yeah, we know we can give out some really powerful, great answers, but that's not what you're talking about here. You don't have to give the answers. We all, as individuals, in different places on the timeline and where we're at in our lives, we have a bunch of answers in our head. We just need almost some guidance to get to them and literally verbalize them, which is what you allowed that gentleman to do.
Yeah. So like, yeah. So really, really excellent points. A lot of people have watched Tony Robbins, but they've never really scientifically analyzed how he works. Mm-hmm. And if you watch Tony Robbins in a live experience, when he brings somebody on stage, he spends 95% of his time, at least 95% of his time, asking the next level question, right? And so he'll ask a question because somebody comes up and they've got a problem, they've got an issue. So he starts with a question, they give an answer. He starts with another, and he just keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper to the point where the person all of a sudden has this light bulb moment where their whole life has changed, right? And that's the one thing he arguably does better than anybody else in the world is he asks great questions to help the person have this moment. I call that, you know, one of the things that I've been doing a lot of over the last, I guess, 2 years, Scott, and it's oftentimes with my friend Chris Marr, because I'll do these events over there in the UK.
Yeah.
And that is, we call the event WCC, which stands for World Class Communication. And one of the principles that I believe in so much is what I call the Columbus Principle. And the Columbus Principle is what we've been talking about, which is this. Everybody wants to feel like they were the ones that discovered America, basically, right? And if you can help somebody feel like that, then they can actually own the change, right? But if we tell somebody, you know, you really should do this, they ain't going to do it, man.
No.
At least they ain't going to own it, right? They're not going to own it for themselves and be inspired to say, okay.
Because it wasn't self-generated, right?
That's exactly.
And let's be fair. I mean, some people might be hearing this and they might be like, hey, man, this almost sounds like a game. And like, well, if you want to look at it as a game, then look at it as a game. Like, that's what Marcus is doing, right? He's having fun because you figured out how to fun with this to break through people through the power of communication. Just to get them to get to their own answers that they already know are there, but they haven't come to the surface.
So I get one of the main things that I get hired to do is to go in and give these digital marketing workshops. But there's a very specific type of company that I go in for, Scott. It is the number one email that I've gotten over the course of 7 years, I guess, of really talking a lot about this stuff, teaching a lot about it. Is not from business owners that are saying, hey, Marcus, I need more traffic, leads, and sales for my website, for my business. What do you suggest? The number one is from frustrated marketers that are saying, I know that if we did these things with digital, we could have success. But the problem is, I can't get my leadership team bought in. I can't get my sales team bought in. They don't have the vision. I feel like they're still living in 1995. And I'm so frustrated to the point where I want to leave the company. And so the one thing that we've had a ton of success doing is going in and taking some really hard-headed sales teams or leadership teams in over the course of 2 or 3 hours, completely turning them around. And every single time the marketer comes up to me afterwards, Scott, and says, I don't understand. I've been saying this for 3, 4, 5 years, and you now come in and say it for 2 or 3 hours, and everybody acts like it's the, this is the thing, this is the greatest thing ever. And there's two reasons for that. One is the reason we've been talking about, of course, mm-hmm. this Columbus principle, which I think is the major reason. But then there's the other part, and everybody kind of deals with this, and that is you can be a prophet to the world, but nobody listens to you in your hometown, which is tough, right? This is really, really tough, and we all have to deal with that on some level.
I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. Like, you can't – I joke around, too, because I'm a huge health and wellness nut, and I – again, brought this up literally two nights ago recording an episode and with my other last co-host, and we were joking around about how it's like, you know, the people that are closest to you are the hardest people to get through to, because mm-hmm. you know each other too well, and you love each other that much through the power of friendship and family and everything else, and you're so close that you don't know how to pull yourself outside the circle and look in like you're talking about. So when it comes to like health coaching or trying to help like my own family, you know, get as healthy as I am, it's like hitting a brick wall. And I sometimes tell people, like, you know what? Sometimes you're just too close. You might need to
That's right.
bring in an outsider, man. Like, you're just way too close. Like you're talking about, that's exactly what you're talking about. But in the business world, they're on the inside circle. And for some strange reason, it's not strange because you're explaining there's reason, there's some science behind this, but it's like psychologically, they're like, you're our underling. I don't want to listen to you. But apparently this guy who doesn't work for us, I'm willing to listen to him.
It happens all the time. It's unfortunate, but it is reality. But what we can do is we can still dramatically enhance our communication, because oftentimes it does happen because we try to force feed it. And people tune out because we're constantly trying to push these things. Like my kids at this point, they know if they come to me, they're going to have to mentally work it out. They ain't going to get it from me. And so
you make them earn it.
But yes, but they still come to me because they know, okay, I need dad to guide me through this process, even though he already knows the answer, or he has an opinion on the matter. Mm-hmm. He's not even going to give his opinion. What he's going to do is he's going to guide me through the process, and they really, really appreciate that.
Yeah, it's interesting because like I'm not a parent, and more power to you, man. definitely we have different lifestyles.
Gets easier at four, man.
Is that all it is? Is that all it takes? You got to go round one, two, three, four. It's easy. Okay, I'll keep that in the back of my mind. I was out to dinner last night. Good friends of mine, actually one of my biggest clients, and she and I had spent the whole day yesterday. We went up to one of her biggest clients, helped them run a big marketing event. It was like their 60th anniversary. A lot of marketing going on. But anyway, we drove up 5:30 in the morning, drove back together, and we're just talking. And then we went out to dinner last night because I'm best friends with her husband. We're all hanging out, and they got like a 3-year-old. So it's no longer terrible twos. Now I call it like the inquisitive threes, at least in my experience. So I'm like, man, that kid's got questions for everything. And yeah, there's like a candle next to the table. And he's like, what is that? And he's drawn by the fire and everything else, because it's a fancy looking candle because it's at a nice restaurant. And my buddy, the father, he's not like you and I. He's just like, well, that's a candle. And the kid keeps asking the question.
That's right.
And then I was like,
worst answer, man.
I was like, hey, Jackson. I was like, and he looks over. I was like, hey, so could you help me understand what that is? Because I don't know what that is. What do you think that is? I just start playing the game with him. And all of a sudden, it distracted him. And meanwhile, his dad's still trying to, like, you know, get him to focus on his food. And I'm like, just give me, like, 30 seconds, bro. Like, let me work this and get this kid to work with me. And then all of a sudden, like, he's thinking about it. And there's two things that happen with that kid. Either A, I got him thinking so much that he just changes his mind, goes back to his food. Or he'll then really start like throwing ideas out there and everything else. And that's the power of like children, man. Like they're in a like sponge mode. Like you're saying, you need to walk them through that process. They got to figure this stuff out. You can't just, oh, that's what it is. And you're done. I totally agree with you. And it's, again, I'm just the good friend, Uncle Scott. Like I'm not a parent, and I can figure that out because I play in the sales and marketing world. So like, this is what I'm learning over the years. So
but this is also how we take our employees, the same principle is how we take our employees to a point where they think like owners, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, how many business owners are there out there that are just outrageously frustrated because nothing happens unless it goes through them? And like, it starts off because they're micromanagers and they want to feel like they're in control. And eventually that inner need they have to feel like they control everything, that ends up controlling their life.
Yep.
And their life is run by their job versus them running their life, right? Which is really, really frustrating. And that's what I try to do with my team. You know, when they contact me, they know that my first question always, always is, so how do you propose that we solve the problem? Every single time, it's always the first one. Because if they've come to me without any thought of solution, then they know they're not allowed to come to me.
Good.
It's just the rule. And I think it's a great rule. Just generally speaking, I think it's a great rule to live by, because we need to teach people, ourselves included, to be very solution oriented. And it starts early. And if we can keep doing it, it starts with your first employee. It starts with your first child. It doesn't really matter. You keep doing it. And that's what a leadership model of education is, man.
Well, it's funny you bring all that up, because I'm listening for a second time, because I'm sure you've heard of Grant Cardone, another big sales mogul like yourself, and literally the book's right behind me, Be Obsessed or Be Average. So I'm always, you know, crushing books like yours and his, and I got a whole library here. And I was listening to the audiobook again the other day, just driving. I like to cycle in different content. And he brought up exactly what you're talking about. He's like, people want to have their employees understand the ownership mindset. And he's like, a lot of people don't understand. Like, they're like, well, my manager just wants to buy a new desk and a new whiteboard and just spend the money because they think it's improving, you know, the facility. But he's like, as an owner, I look at that as an expense, expense, expense. And, you know, where's the investment? And he's like, a lot of owners struggle to get their teams, like you just, like you said, to start thinking like owners. Like, okay, well, what is going to be your ROI on that? And it's funny how you talk about all this, because we talk about how it relates to families and it's business. And like, this is everyday life. And that's what I'm loving, what we're talking about here today, because from where we started this conversation today, it's like, I talked about how I was afraid of sales. Like, I knew that I had the gift of gab, but I looked at it as a negative. And I was like, you know what? Sales and marketing, man, this is just human communication being used in a professional space.
Yeah. And that's how I hire salespeople. I mean, that's what I'm looking for, is I'm looking for really clean communicators. And I think the other great quality is they're not obsessed with sounding smart, right? Because I think the moment we try to sound smart oftentimes is the moment we start to look stupid. And, you know, we speak above the audience, or we almost like to put the audience in their place, which is so ridiculous.
Never talk down, talk with.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so that's the type of person that I'm looking for. And it's funny how, to me, and I know I said this, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but whether it's a professional speaker, or whether it's a great salesperson, or whether it's great marketing copy, it's all the same thing. The principles of clean communication. If we get that, we're going to be so much more successful. They've said in 2017, the number one factor that dictates average compensation, average salary for someone, is their ability to communicate. It's not how many years of college they had. It has nothing to do with that. It's just their ability to communicate. And so all of the like personal dev stuff that we do with employees, they're always based on communication principles. Can we enhance our ability to communicate with each other, to communicate with our clients, with our prospects, so that we're all in this really, really high level?
Well, let's be real. I mean, I can get into a whole conversation about our university system. Because I grew up as a farmer.
Don't even get me started on that one.
Oh, man. That's a whole other episode. But I'll just go ahead and skim over that. But the whole point is this. It's like, you know, I grew up as a farm kid. Dude, I used to shovel manure, okay? My friends were going to college prep in high school, and I'm going to a Votech school learning how to work on microelectronics circuit boards and stuff like that, because I wanted to be something bigger, be something better. And then didn't know where that was going, but all my friends are going to Penn State to be engineers, and I'm like, well, I like building things, I'm going to be an engineer. Like, there was no method to my madness when I was young. So that's why when I started school, and then I ended up dropping out because I got into a startup company and I was working my way up, and I was only 18 years old. And I was like, oh my God, like the next thing you know, like at 19, 20 years old, like they're paying me to travel to Connecticut to open a call center for them and train their people. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just rolling with it, right? I'm just going for it. And I'm studying and I'm learning communication skills. I'm like, you know what? I'm taking some time off from school because I really don't know what I'm doing over there. But apparently this is working. And I had to hustle and I wanted to work my way up because I had goals. That was not taught by school at all. Like the university didn't teach me to be a better communicator. They had a level 100 class in, as a freshman year in college, speech communication. All they do is put you in front of the class and have you talk to people. And I'm like, you're not actually teaching the behaviors, the concepts that you and I are talking about. Like, and this is what I'm worried about because like this podcast, like I'm all about, because I'm Gen X. I'll be 40 next month, right? I'm the X generation. And I love the passion.
You and I are almost the exact same age. We're both, I turned 40 in November.
So oh, there we go. Crazy. Awesome. So you get what I'm going here. I'm excited for the millennial generation, and I'm also fearful because the generation above you and I, the CEIO generation, I joke around about the old school way of like nowadays you can literally have a 22-year-old CEO depending on the startup concept you had.
Yeah.
Right? Let's be real. So now all these millennials are like, oh man, I'm going to start up my own company. I'm going to launch a Kickstarter. And two generations above them, they're looking at them as, oh, these kids are, you know, lazy because they want everything now. They want the title. They want the job. They want to be able to work from home. They haven't earned it yet. So people look at millennials as being lazy or whatever. I'm like, that's not what they're looking for. The millennials are looking for mentorship and coaching and guidance, right? Which is exciting. And this is the next largest generation coming. And what you and I are talking about right now freaks me out because the universities are not teaching communication. They're not teaching what you and I are talking about.
Dude, I guess it was like 2 years ago, I was asked to come to George Washington University for their MBAs and listen to their final, they give like this final speech or something like that. I don't know.
Uh-oh, I already hear problems.
And I'm telling you what, man, I was like heartbroken when I left. And this is George Washington.
That's a legit school.
This is a legit school. And I was dumbfounded with what I saw. They couldn't speak to an audience.
Were they reading from their cards or their paper? I love that.
Oh, there was a bunch, Scott. There was a bunch. And look, I'm not saying that this is just a millennial. This is a people problem in general.
That's true. What you and I just talked about right now, that the whole card and paper thing, this is not just millennials, guys. To our listeners, I'm not ripping. We're not ripping on that. Yeah, this is our generation. This is the older generation. There's people who literally just do not know how to speak.
Well, I think there's a couple things. It's like we're talking about two things. This critical need of clean communication and the ability to do it. And then we're talking about this ability to really read outside the lines and not follow the quote system as everybody has always taught it, right? And so, you know, if you look at some of the greatest businesses today that are turning industries on their heads, it's because they're not following the rules, right? So I'm trying to teach that. I'm trying to teach that to people. I'm trying to teach that to my kids. My daughter's 16. She just finished her sophomore year of high school. She said, "Dad, I think I'm good, and I'm ready to move on." Hmm. Now, see, how many, like 99% of parents are going to be like, "You got to finish your final 2 years of school." I'm like, "All right, so you ready to travel the world with me, and you know, just let's go crush." Mm-hmm. She's like, "Yeah, I'm ready to go." Wow. So that's what she's going to do. And she recently, I gave a talk in the UK and at Chris Marr's event, and she opened up with a 20-minute keynote for me, 16 years old, and she gave...
You gave her a keynote opener?
Yeah, she opened for me. And she's tremendous, like in front of an audience. She started... You see, what happened, Scott, is she traveled the world with me when she was 14. For 3 months, she took off her freshman year of high school, and it was the first semester of her freshman year, and she went wherever I went, right? So I spoke in Europe. She went with me. I spoke all over Canada. She went with me. I spoke in Africa. She went with me.
And she's sponging, right? Right.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
You can't.
Visually, auditory, kinesthetic. Yeah, and now you're giving her the kinesthetics. Oh,
and I told her, I said, this is going to screw you up for life. It's going to screw you up for life. And so she did that. And then when she was 15, she came to me one day, like literally one day. And she said, "Dad, I decided to start a business." I said, "Really?" Now, I mean, you know, I've never like told her, hey, you should start a business. Mm-hmm. I said, what's the business? She said, I'm making glitter eyeshadow. Not just I'm making glitter eyeshadow. I said, okay, you're making glitter eyeshadow. Why glitter eyeshadow? She said, well, you see, the cosmetic manufacturers generally don't make this glitter eyeshadow because it doesn't last as long as they need it to last. And so really, in order to, you know, this is like a prime market, and I can manufacture it myself. I've learned how to do it on YouTube, and I can ship it out to people. YouTube University. And there's our this platform. Make a long story short, she started manufacturing glitter eyeshadow and exploded. And she's, you know, she does somewhere between $500,000 a month in sales, which for
and how
a
15
year old, 15, she was 15 when she, and you know, she's still killing it. She's killing it. Thousands of dollars in the bank as a teenager because she's like, you know, my friends aren't thinking about this stuff, Dad, but it's so like the opportunities are there. And you see, the reason why I mentioned this is because our philosophy, I've since day one, it's that Mark Twain philosophy that I've tried to teach her, which is never let your schooling get in the way of your education. It's all I really care about.
That's very philosophical, sir.
Right. And so I am obsessed with her education, but I don't care about her schooling. Mm-hmm. And see, most parents, when it comes to their kids, are obsessed with their schooling much more than their education. And I think that is bass ackwards. It doesn't make sense to me.
I completely agree with you, because one thing that I appreciate is I grew up in a blue collar family. And when I was younger, I hated it. And I saw us not, you know, we didn't struggle, but like my dad went through a couple bankruptcies with his business, rebuilt. Like, you know, I mean, again, we grew up in farming. My dad and my younger brother to this day, now he has his own business, but they're livestock brokers, you know, cattle, and they buy and sell and all that. And so I just didn't want anything to do with that. But what years later now I look back and I'm like, my dad taught me how to work hard. All right. I had to 6 o'clock in the morning, 5:30 in the morning, you're out there doing the chores, picking the eggs, whatever. Like, and it's funny because when I worked in the corporate world, like my employees, we would do team building meetings, and I wanted them to connect with me. So I made sure I would have everybody, you know, go around the room, introduce themselves, blah, 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 when we built a new team. And then I'd be the last one. And anybody who was new on the team, they'd be like, I'm sorry, what? I don't picture you as a farm kid. And I was like, it doesn't matter how you picture me. It's just, I want you to understand that I'm nobody special. Okay, I'm just somebody else who's working hard like you. And there is no template. And that's where, again, we're connecting back to the university thing here. There's still a template that everybody is following. And it's like, guys, you're not teaching people freedom, flexibility, adaptation. I agree with you. The universities, and I can say this because, hey, I will say universities are beneficial for some people. If you want to be a great employee, they teach you to be a good employee. They did not teach you freedom of thought, entrepreneurship. And I'm not saying everybody needs to be an entrepreneur. I'm just saying we should at least fathom the concept, fathom that level of freedom, the creativity, the imagination that we've lost, I think, in this country. Many, many years ago, we were leaders in engineering and science and technology, and people still think we are. And I'm like, we're okay. I mean, can we go improve? Sure. But we need people to do that. We need the freedom of thought. We need people like your daughter. It's where it's clicking and it's like, whoa, never expected that. Oh, wow, I'm blending eyeshadow and glitter. And some people look at that business-wise like, well, wait, she's going to try and make her product last longer, which means she may lose some sales. It's like, no, dude, they're going to clean their eyes off anyway, okay? So at least make it last until they wash it off their eyes, and they're going to buy more of it because they were happy that it lasted the entire time they left it on until they washed it off. I get
That's
it.
Right.
I'm not even a girl. I don't wear eyeshadow. Or guys can wear eyeshadow too. But I mean, hey, I don't judge. But I was like, wow, dude, you got a smart cookie. She saw a hole in the market, and instead of complaining about it, she did something about it. She took action.
And she said, why not me? Which I think is just that great mindset, right?
Yeah.
Why not me? It's like, you know, why not me? I don't need to stay for these final 2 years. I've gotten one I want to get out of high school. And, you know, why not me? She's going to apply for college in a year after she travels with me, and she'll go to a college. And, but she's going to do it. I'm sure she's going to do it differently. She wants to apply for college. She might change her mind.
Yeah.
All I care about is that she's learning along the way. And I'm good with that. I'm good with that.
Well, and obviously thanks to what you created for yourself, it's become a great educational envelope for her. She can just open that flap and climb right on in and just sit back in the audience and sponge and sponge and sponge. And it's not just from you. It's also from other influencers like Chris Marr or other people that he and you bring on stage. So that's exciting. I mean, I think that's powerful, man. I mean, kudos to you guys. Like to see some, like for you, at surface level, I think people would see you being happy influencing other businesses, people that are hiring you, anything else. And without me stepping inside of your brain, I think I would feel even more empowered and satisfied and a little bit of success knowing that you accidentally influenced your own child. And like, I don't know, how does that feel to you, man? I mean, it's gotta be pretty powerful.
Oh yeah, it's tremendous. I mean, I think for every parent, I think that is the goal. Yeah. I mean, there's lots of people espouse family first, but they don't really live it. I try to live it. And I'm sure I'm pretty imperfect along the way. But I think there is this mindset that you need to separate work from family. I think whoever taught that was bad, like in terms of that was bad advice. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with integrating the two seamlessly, right? So each one of my kids will go on at least one trip with me throughout the year, right? My oldest daughter, we've already established, she goes with me all the time.
Oh, now you got her hooked. It's like an all natural drug for her.
Yeah, she's got airline status. You know, 16 got airline status, right? So she's that's how she's rolling, and that's what it's all about, right? So like, why can't I integrate them into the mix instead of, you know, as a speaker, I see a lot of people making a lot of money, but their personal lives aren't doing so well. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're really unfulfilled. And I want to be able to achieve both. That's really what I'm trying to do. And so like, if I can go fishing and be with my son and still do a business call,
why not?
And get both. Well, why not?
Yeah.
Because I can put the phone down. It's like, I don't need to be checking it the whole time. But if I have a choice, like, oh, I need to stay home for that call today, or I'm going to skip the call and go fishing. No. Let me see if I can do them both. I think we need to get back to that. That's what we need to teach.
It's true. Like, I'm a big health and wellness nut. I talk about healthy lifestyle balance on this show a lot. And yeah, I've done the whole unplug thing because I do social media marketing and I'm trying to build my video experience like you and everything else. I even took your little online video survey. I tell people, like, guys, like, yes, unplug, but don't fully unplug. I mean, because then you get stressed out because you've been unplugged for 3 hours and it's like, oh my God, what did I miss? And people are like, oh, well, that's just the withdrawal syndrome. Give it a couple weeks and then you go through it. I'm like, no. Like, if you're a business professional, it's who you are. Why fight that? Like you said, create balance. You know, like my fiance has her own business. I have my own business. I have clients. So I've had to adapt that. I'm like, okay, yeah, when she and I are on like a whitewater raft last weekend, didn't take the phone because I didn't want to ruin my phone. So there was my unplug. Got back in the car, turned it back on. Okay, life balance. So yeah, if we're having dinner together, do we need to be in front of our phones like this? No, like put your phone down. But if somebody calls you and you're out at having a drink with friends, and if it's one of your top clients and you can make it quick, then make it quick. So you don't give me 30 seconds, give me a minute.
That's right.
And we'll set a follow-up call.
That's exactly right. You know, I mean, to me, it's like I think one of the best things I ever did was I just turned the noises off. So that way I control when I check my phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's real simple. And if I feel like I'm controlling my actions, not it controlling me, like just like we talked about earlier with our business, if I'm controlling my business, if I'm owning my business versus my business owning me, mm-hmm. Well, then I'm on the right path. I'm doing okay.
And I, a lot of people struggle with that. I mean, I think that's the shame. I mean, it's interesting because actually, you know, while you and I were talking about solving problems and trying to adapt to this, I'm actually going to, for our YouTube listeners, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of video sharing here. I'm actually on the salesline.com site. And one thing I liked about it was you just pass your mouse over your toolbar. You got a lot of stuff on here. But then I went over like problems we solve, right? So yeah. You have a lot of problems, it seems, that you guys are just always trying to focus on. Is this one of the areas that you end up talking to some of your clients about? Or is this just, you just keep this more casual when it comes to your business?
So when somebody comes to your website, they don't really care about, generally speaking, you. They care about the issues that they're facing in their life. Mm-hmm. They're thinking about their problems, their issues, their concerns, their worries, their questions. And the majority of all businesses, as soon as you get to their website, the first thing you see is a statement about the business. And then they want to talk about their solutions. They want to talk about their products. They just want to talk about that stuff. And usually it doesn't match the same way. And that's why you have that wall between the business and the potential customer, the prospect. Mm-hmm. And so every business, in my opinion, should have a section that discusses the problems they solve. And when you do that, when you put it there, you state it exactly how the prospect would say it. Because the idea is that when they come to your website, they're able to nod their head and say, that is what I am dealing with right now. Instead of saying, does that solution fix my problem? They might not know they need inbound marketing services, but they do know I'm sick and tired of producing content on my website and I can't seem to get results. Or when I search for the major phrases in my space, all I can find is my competitors. This is really annoying me. Or I'm spending so much money on pay-per-click and I don't know if I'm getting the ROI that I really, really need, right? These are things that people say. So say it the way that they say it. That's the essence of the ask, you answer. And that's why we have a problems we solve section. Hmm. In conjunction with that, Scott, so most companies don't have that section on their website. And most companies also don't have a section that says who we're not a good fit for. Easily one of the most foundational areas of your website, who we are not a good fit for. Because you see, everybody in your space will say, we do this, we do that, we do that. So it doesn't make you special because everybody says it. But the moment you say, but we're not a good fit for you if, and you don't do it snarky, you're serious. Like in my case with the sales line, I might say, look, if you're looking for an agency to do all of your social media, in other words, you don't want to do it yourself. You really don't want to learn how to do it. You just want somebody to do it for you. Well, then we're probably not a good fit for you. Hmm. This is a powerful, powerful psychological, basically light switch, because it makes somebody say, and that's exactly what I was looking for. Now, as a pool guy, I would say things like, a fiberglass pool is not for you if, same deal, same deal. And so it's way more important that I say that than I say, you really should get a fiberglass pool because it's low maintenance and it looks nice and it's going to last forever. No. That's not how it starts. You see, everybody is thinking that the company is going to be biased. If you come right out of the gate and you say who you're not and what you're not, then you're going to be dramatically successful. And the last point to this, and that is, the happiest day in the life of a business is not when they figure out who they are. That's not ever the case. Hmm. The happiest day in the life of the business is when they figure out what they're not. Because the moment they know what they're not is the moment they start saying no to prospects. And when we say no to prospects, we save ourselves from the ones that cause us all the stress, the services that we really shouldn't have rendered, or the person that we felt bad about and our gut said, don't sign the line with this company or this person, this client, but we did it anyway because we said we need the money. We took the money, and then after we took the money and had all the problems, we said, but it wasn't worth it.
Mm-hmm. I've had this, I've realized how to keep it casual. Like my own fiance, she's a doctor of veterinary, a large animal veterinary, and she's got a partner and another doctor, and they're growing. And I said, you know, with your growth, I was like, just keep an eye. I was like, is there anybody really annoying the hell out of you right now? And she's like, yeah, because let's be real. I'm sure what you just said, we can ask any business out there. Everybody seems to have that one or two annoying customers, at least, hopefully not more. But it's like, I'm not saying that you have to be rich to make that decision. But what I'm hearing from you is like, if you're really going to truly tap your maximum growth, cut the weak legs off. Like, get to that point where you're confident enough to say, why am I wasting my time with this person? It's all money and there's no power, there's no inspiration, there's no change coming out of that. And if anything, it just drains me because I can't stand it when they call. Why? It's your business. Why wouldn't you cut that out? And everybody says, that's easy for you to say, that's a paying client, yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, but think about it this way. If you cut them out, you've just opened up a slot, a hole. That's right. To fill with maybe one or two newer, more inspirational clients you actually are empowered to help and impact. And that's what I'm getting from you.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you own that, man, you're just so much happier and you become dramatically more attractive to those that are a good fit.
Wait a minute. So I just had an epiphany. Could this potentially impact our friendships and romantic lives? I mean,
oh, that too.
Oh, well, I'm sure we've got those. Again, it goes back to, I use quotes like from Jim Rohn all the time, or the product of the five people we spend most. I'm like, guys,
degraded,
like personal,
degraded, yeah, personal like, development speaker ever.
Let's be real. I mean, it's Jim freaking Rohn, people. R-O-H-N, JimRohn.com.
Not even close. Yeah. It's not even, I mean, it's really not even close.
All we can do is aspire to get to a percentage of that gentleman's level of what he has done in his whole career. It's like, my God, that guy was powerful. And he kept it simple. That quote is simple. I'm not saying cut people completely out of your life, but if they're not empowering you to be a better person, maybe don't spend all your time around them. Find some new circles. This is why I promote mastermind groups and coaching groups and everything else, or going to events like your events. It's like, guys, like, okay, maybe you can't get away from them, but at least take a weekend off and go to an event and get inspired and empowered by that content. And now you're starting to reprogram what you're dealing with personally, professionally, romantically. I don't care. Just get around people who get it.
That's right. That's exactly right. Goes, you know, his other phrase that aligns with that is, there's basically so many that have touched me that Jim Rohn has said, but to have more than you've got to become more than you are. Right. Mm. And he also talked about, you know, the moment you start working on yourself harder than you're working on your job is the moment your life really, really changes.
And I can reinforce that.
I know that to be true.
I know that to be true. I mean, I still remember back when I opened like my first self-help book. You know, I literally went to a bookstore and went to the self-help section. I didn't know what mm-hmm. I was doing, but, and this
it's
is
a magical moment in somebody's
right?
life.
And you feel weird because I'm just like, well, you know, I'm Mr. Hardcore Adrenaline Junkie guy. Like, I'm like, I can do this myself. And then it's like, well, maybe I can't. So it's, you got to, you know, beat that little internal battle back. And it's like, wait a minute, Scott. It's like, you know, let your walls down and realize maybe you don't know everything. And I mean, granted, I don't go to those sections anymore because I've gotten very savvy online, and this is many, many years later, but I'm still building my library. I talk about it all the time. This is why it inspired me to create a podcast, because I've been crushing podcasts for 3 years as a listener. And I was like, wait a minute, I've built enough content and experience in my life to know that I could potentially connect with other powerful people and bring them, like yourself, online. Get their words out there, add to that self-help sector, build the content, and potentially influence other people like I've been influenced.
Yeah, yeah. It's beautiful, man. I love it. I love personal development, man. It never gets old to me.
No, no. Well, I could tell you, I mean, and we're coming up on the end of our episode here, so I want to respect your time because you've given us so much today. I mean, you're a powerful, world-class, you know, paid speaker. So our listeners, guys, like, this gentleman is giving you a lot of powerful time today that normally he goes on stage and does for hundreds of thousands of people. So this is one of my goals that I'm adding to my goals over the next year. Like I told you before we started the show today, like I'll be speaking at the Mid-Atlantic Podcast Conference in 2 weeks outside of Philadelphia.
That's awesome. I was
an attendee last year and had just launched the show. I'm not even a 1 year old yet. I'll be 1 year old literally while I'm at that event for the podcast show. It's just so exciting to be able to go back and potentially influence other people now on stage a year later. It's pretty cool.
So cool. I love it, man.
Yeah. Well, listen, I hinted at it earlier. Our listeners, they like to hear the final co-host, the final words of the show, something that, you know, maybe has been digging inside of your brain throughout this entire show that you want to leave behind. I'll give you a proper goodbye when we stop recording today. But, you know, is there anything powerful you want to leave behind? Because, again, you are our honored co-host, and I want to honor you by letting you close out the show for us today.
Yeah, let me get back to business just for a minute, because I think we're all in business in some way, shape, or form. And because I speak at so many of these different places, Scott, I see attendees at these events that seem to get a lot out of it. And then I see another group of attendees that don't. And there's one clear distinguishing feature between the ones that do and do not. It's fascinating to me. The ones that don't get out of these events are the ones that whenever they hear something, whether it's a new teaching, a new principle, a new technique, or whatever it is, they say, yeah, that may have worked for him or her, but it wouldn't work in our business. Those are the ones that fail. But the ones that immediately come into the doors or put on the headset or whatever it is, or turn on that podcast to listen to it, and they say, is it possible that this applies to me? Which I think is just the greatest words. Is it possible that this applies to me? That's a personal development thing, right? And that is all of the best practices that are out there. I think if we go through life with that simple question in mind, is it possible that this applies to me? We're going to be dramatically more successful. We're going to be, as you mentioned earlier, we're going to be a sponge. And we're going to be fulfilled as well. And we're going to be changing and evolving all the time. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So instead of putting yourself in that corner, my challenge to you as the listener is that you always go with that mindset. Is it possible? And if you do, I promise great results will occur.
That is powerful. Man, that is awesome. Thank you, sir. Like I said, hang tight. I want to give you a proper goodbye. To our listeners, guys, there's your question to really close this whole episode out today is it possible? Marcus Sheridan just dropped the bomb for you guys. So again, check him out at thesalesline.com. This is bigger than just business, guys. We talk about health, business, and lifestyle. This is what we're all about. Marcus has dropped a huge bomb for you today. Just consider that, okay? So again, to our listeners, guys, thank you for listening to another Live the Fuel show. We're here to fire you up. Listen again tomorrow. I'll talk to you later. Peace. Hey there, Live the Fuel fans. Quick commercial break. Before we close out the episode, just wanted to give you some extra tips and tricks before we send you on your way. So again, thank you again for listening to the Live the Fuel show. I hope you got a lot out of this recent episode. More importantly, please subscribe to this show if you haven't subscribed yet. Stay in touch. Get me some feedback. Submit a review on iTunes or Stitcher. And get us the voice of you, the listener, so we can build this content back into the show and make sure that I'm actually taking you, the listener, into this design and future as Live the Fuel grows. So again, subscribe, submit a review, stay in touch. Heck, on that point, go visit livethefueltank.com. Livethefueltank.com. That will take you to the link to our private Facebook group community where you can join and I can stay more in touch with you going forward outside of the podcast world. All right, last quick little piece here for you guys, some extra value. One, go to livethefuel.com main page. You'll see on there we have our free reef sources guide. If you are looking for free content and not having to pay for it, consider getting on my email list. You click on the button, send me my copy, get your Super Sevens resources guide. There's over 21 of my favorite online resources that I built into this little electronic guide for you guys. There's no cost. It'll just be emailed to you just by hopping on my email. Again, just thank you for listening. I want to give you some value. Second piece of my little extra nuggets of knowledge, if you want to call it this, is go to the resources section on the site. In there, I have three columns, health, business, lifestyle. And two, right off the bat, that I want to make sure you guys are taking advantage of is number one, eatpillynuts.com. And number two, villacapelli.com. Their logos are on the site. You got a big bowl of nuts there. And you got a cool big V, Power V logo. Both of those, if you use the discount code FUEL, F-U-E-L, you will get 10% off at checkout. So take advantage of that, please, and thank you. And more importantly, there's other companies linked on there. My nutritional and health alignment with Isagenics since 2010. The Pure Vitamin Club company for their kick-ass magnesium B12 and an awesome multi-cap. There's some additional business resources on there. Number one, Singularis IT. I go mountain biking and road cycling with the founder. This is a legitimate IT company. I don't care where you are in the world, you can use their services. We're talking about serious white glove level services. I've moved all of my IT solutions over to them, and I outsource them regularly for any future and onboarding clients down the road. And lastly, but not leastly, David Studio. If you have no clue who this guy is, guess what? He is my new audio engineer. This is the guy I've been having making it happen behind the scenes. I found him through the Fiverr world. So if you search for David, D-A-V-I-D, Studio on Fiverr, you can track this guy down. But guess what? He's also on the Upwork platform. He's on the People Per Hour platform. You can search for him through his real name. I've never literally physically met this guy or talked to him in person. We have been just met through the online world. But if you search for E-M-I-N, that's, I believe, pronounced Emin, and Fickick, which is F as in Frank, I-K-I-C. You can search for him in Upwork, People Per Hour, or more importantly, just go to Fiverr like I did. But if you are a podcaster or somebody just looking to get quality audio engineering, this is your guy. So again, guys, I'll let you get back to your day. Thanks again for listening to Live the Fuel. We'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.